Good morning. In the Christian Bible, in James chapter 2, it says, "Count it all joy, brethren, when you are met with trials and tribulations, because this produces steadfastness." Then say, "Count some of it joy." He said, "Count all things joy." Now that doesn't mean that we are to be excited because of troubles and heartaches. But we know that in some way that it is rigged for our good, this thing called life and this universe, that ultimately good comes from apparent evil and suffering. That good in the ultimate wins, that life is unfolding for a higher purpose. Yours, mine, individually, collectively, we're going somewhere. And when I thought about this message, the only title that came to my mind was "It Happens to the Best of Us," because really, I could say it happens to the best in us. And what I mean by that is we can be moving along, accepting our good, in a wonderful, joy-filled, loving life that all of us want to lead. We can think on wonderful thoughts. We can think on wonderful ideals. We can believe that the best is yet to be, and it really is. But sometimes things come from the side that we don't expect, and it throws us, and we wonder where the good is. What is in this that is really for my highest good? And usually we have to take our own egos out of that equation, because it asks the question, why? The ego wants to know why. It wants to reaffirm itself because of its own inherent fearfulness. The divine presence in us understands all. That's why in Scripture it says, always give thanks, always think on these things that are good and pure and wonderful and positive and lovely. And that's in Philippians. The Buddha said, "He who conquers himself is mightier than a person who conquers a city." So you see, the idea of trouble and heartache is by no means new, but I think in this world today it is closer than ever before, because we're joined as never before by technology that was as never before. So things inundate us quick, and we can move from one place to another, it seems like, very quickly, forgetting our great commitments to stand with Spirit, to walk hand in hand with the God that loves us and made us, because of situational anxieties, upsets, and heartaches. I am not a person who is not acquainted with those things, but I also know that in order to grow and to move forward, we have to make decisions in the present moment. Every moment is life. Every moment continues to teach us things that we need to know, but we are so used to that these things happening so quickly that we forget this is the sum and substance of life right now. Tomorrow will be now, and yesterday was now. We're living in the eternal now, and so that's where our decision making counts the most. We can do nothing about yesterday, and we can plan and do the best and think the best for tomorrow, but we don't know what is around the bend. I know in my life I'm going through some very challenging times right now. And when I meditate and contemplate, or do what I call just sits, I realize that God is still God, the light is still the light, the sun is still shining, and all will be well. I just need to align myself with that. Now, when I say it happens to the best of us, we can feel we're all prayed up. I can feel like this is challenging, this is difficult, and why did it happen? That's an old metaphysical saying for that, called the law of reversibility. Or I should say an old metaphysical idea, and it is this: when you make up your mind to change and go in a different direction and reach out for the new life that God offers every moment. It seems like everything can come against you at once. It's also been called the tester. And what it is, I believe, is the universe's process of seeing how sincere we are and how much we are committed to the radical idea of change. I believe it is impossible to be an entirely new person. I believe that if you have had an inferior or upsetting or a quality of life that was not what you wanted, an inferior, upsetting situation, that you can, moment by moment and decision by decision, change your life. I believe that this law of reversibility will come and test you eventually. I've told you before that the 7-day mental diet by Emmett Fox was a year and a half journey for me. It was supposed to take a week. And the idea is that the minute you think a negative thought, you've got to start this 7 days all over again. And 7 days for me became a year and a half. But I did make it. And I will tell you that physical diet is mere child's play compared to this. The mind tends to jump from one negativity to another, from one upset to another. The ego is very fearful. The divine part of ourself is very bold. Have you ever had an experience where you pushed past that fear? It may have been diving off the high board, as I did. It may have been deciding to do something that stretched you in spite of everything that was telling you, don't do it, I'm scared, I don't want to. Those moments that we push through, those anxieties and fears, are the moments of our finest growth. We remember them, in fact, fondly. We don't necessarily remember the fears attendant with it. We just say, I did it. It's something that I was able to accomplish. I can do that. See, this laboratory of life that we're involved in right now is ultimately for our highest good. I'm not saying that we need to understand everything that comes our way, although there are some great teachers and ideas and groups that have the idea that perhaps there's a reason for this or you're going through this for that, whatever it may be. But ultimately, we still have to walk forward. We still have to put one foot in front of another and live. And I believe that when we do that with a clear intent, that the universe conspires for our good, that everything lines up, even the seemingly impossible or hard things are there for a reason. It's said that life breaks all of us, but we can become stronger at the broken places. In fact, if you've ever seen hammers or iron that's been broken and forged again, there's a place in the soldering process where it's even stronger at its broken place. I'm not saying we're like iron, but I'm saying the idea is once you faced and accepted the hard stuff, the stuff that you didn't think you could get through, you build a sort of spiritual muscle so that when the law of reversibility comes again, you could say, I've done that already. I've been through this already. I've gained this sort of strength. And I'm ready for my next test. And I'm going to face it joyously. And I'm going to do it with an attitude of gratitude for the life that I'm given to live. You know, all of us know, down deep, I believe, that negativity doesn't work. We know that, and yet we set up arguments for it. We argue for our limitations with the best of intents. I can say very subtly, well, you see, I've gone through this, and it just sort of like this, and I'm ambling, and I'm forgetting that the situation presented itself for my growth, and that I need to stand forth and be accountable, and that I am on a journey Godward. You are on that same journey, and that I will be presented with exactly what I need to know in this lifetime, and I intend to pass every test that I can. And if I don't, I can say I gave it my best shot. And the way that I give it my best shot, and I'm sure you do that as well, is affirmative prayer and affirmative living and affirmations that say the truth of who you are. It happens to the best of us. Things are going to challenge us no matter what. We're not in a bubble. We're not on a mountaintop in India contemplating life. We're living our lives every day. That is in divine order, the folks that do that. As are you. As is this down the street, whatever it may be. All this is in order. That's very hard for some of us to understand because if we had the opportunity, we'd change it so fast. I'm saying the thing that we are charged to do is change ourselves. When presented with a fact that you can't do something with, either at the moment or perhaps ever after, you're challenged to change the way you think and the way you process this. Change the concepts by which you live. That's very hard to do because we are creatures of habit. We like things to be repetitive. We like things to be almost as they were the day before. We get used to routine. It becomes rote. Beverly Sills, was a great opera singer, had a bracelet she wore on her left hand, and it said, IDTA. And one person said, I don't know what that means, IDTA, but I see you wear that all the time. It was, I did that already. In other words, I've been through this, and I'm ready for the new. That's really what life is about, is being open and ready to embrace those things that may not be what we'd choose if we could do it perfectly. But then again, we were very, very wise souls, I believe, that chose a path for our ultimate and best growth. I'm not saying that some lessons aren't harder than others. And I'm not saying that everything is just ease. Because in that state, you don't really get to grow. I like the story that Norman Vincent Peale tells about walking down the street in New York and meeting a friend who was grumbling and complaining and said, Norman said, hello, how are you, George? And George said, I'm just so sick of all these problems. I can't take it anymore. I've had it. I'm filled up with problems. Problems, problems. And Dr. Peale said, what's going on? He said, I don't want to talk about it. It's just problems. You wouldn't want to hear it. I might tell you, but it's all problems. If you could show me a place I could go where there's no problems at all, I would be forever grateful to you. I would sing Dr. Peale's praises all the time. Show me where I can go. There's no problems. And Dr. Peale answered, pointing across the way to a cemetery in New York. He said, those folks have no problems. For them, life's fitful journey is over. Problems are a sign of life. Resistance is necessary for growth. Ask a weightlifter. Ask a runner. There has to be a resistance so that you can grow. You're not made to stay resisting. You're made to walk past that resistance again and again and again. That's life. I admit that I at times would love to be in a place where there are no problems. But you know what? I think after a while, I know I would, and I think you folks would probably be bored. We'd want a challenge. We'd want something that stretches us. It's just sometimes we say, I want to be stretched, but not this much. But remember that when you're being stretched this much, you're making some gigantic strides in your soul. You're accruing life experiences for a reason. You're growing towards godhood. You see, that doesn't come just from me. That came from the master teacher, Christ Jesus, who said, ye are gods. Have I not said this is true? And that I've come that you might have joy and have it more abundantly. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Look at all these wonderful statements that were said thousands of years ago, with people who faced many of the same things we do, just not technologically as savvy. But practically speaking, the human drama has been replayed and relived for many, many, many years. We think we're the first, maybe, to go through it. And because of our lives and the way technology is, we may be the first in some ways to go through material things. But we're not the first to face heartache, jealousy, anger, guilt, fear, frustration. Those are as old as time. And each generation has to find its way through this. And so we hope that we leave a generation, when we're gone, that has grown collectively in a better way, and that this world expands towards more of its good. That's why your individual choice about growth is important to the rest of us. There is a mind common to all men. And I don't just use the male, you understand I mean women as well, but there is this, the fellas wrote the stuff, so they put men. But there is a mind common to all of us that is very plastic and that responds to our thought, so that in my belief and in the belief of many in unity, that when you think a thought of good, you are also affecting and harmonizing with a person who could be halfway around the world thinking that same thought. Thought has no distance. The transference of thought is instantaneous. And there have been some scientific things to prove this, and I won't get into that now because it's a little detailed, but it's also akin to the idea of, if you've walked into a room and you've ever felt the energy go like this, or have you ever felt it go up? The collective energy of people is outpictured, and we resonate to it or we don't. One other way of saying that is, hurt people hurt people. Happy people make other people happy, or set the tone for it, or make it easier for them to choose that. This one great divine mind, this neuroplastic, wonderful area to create and grow, is here for the taking, for the using. Indeed, we can't get away from it, no matter how long we think we can sit and not have to do anything. Eventually, life knocks on our hood. I said, bang on our hood, and says, you have to deal with this. This has to be done. And you're going to do it, and you might as well do it in a spirit of joy. I also think that refusing to do things in a spirit of joy, besides being a product of the ego, is also, in another way it is a product of the ego, an exercise in fear. When we do something different, when we make a decision to walk another way, to live another way, to respond in another way, there's some fear there. We've never been in that area. What does it look like to forgive an ancient enemy? A Course in Miracles says that the most holiest ground there is where an ancient conflict or problem or pain has been forgiven. What does that feel like to you when you grow that way, when you walk forward in a way that you didn't think you could? Don't you feel a little bigger inside? Don't you feel like you can handle things a little more? Don't you feel like your spirit is a little more magnanimous, and that you have a little more understanding and love for those that are going through the same thing, or going through other trials and travails that are similar but also hurtful to them? You see, I believe we're called on to help one another. I believe that it's wonderful to send prayers to victims of mass shootings, as in El Paso and Dayton. But I also believe, not just prayers, but action. We do that by saying to ourselves, we don't understand, we forgive, and if called, we'll go work on something that has to do with this never happening again, or at the very least, we will see these splits and schisms healed. And the way we heal it is we forgive. We forgive, and things get better. I think we'll always be presented these challenges. I think that's part of the human experience, but it's also part of the human experience to express our divinity and to understand that there are things we may not understand. Keep shining your light in the presence of whatever goes before you or whatever you hear. You're going to go through it anyway. You might as well make it a wonderful experience. I remember the one experience of my life that I didn't do that with, and I was 10 years old. Maybe I didn't do it with some others too, but I remember this one standing out because I had a tonsillitis, and the doctor, who was a friend of our family, had called for a shot of penicillin. And I was getting myself all geared up for this shot at the wonderful age of 10, thinking, you know, I've got this, and you know, rolling my shirt up. The nurse comes in with a hypodermic and says, I need you to pull your pants down. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And what you need to, because if it goes in your arm, it's going to hurt so bad and be hot all day, and you'll never forgive me. I said, oh, no, you do it right here. It was such that she got the doctor to come in and try and reason with my 10-year-old brain. And I looked at that doctor. I said, no, I don't want to do it. He said, okay. And I remember the look on her face when she inserted that needle. And it was hot, and it hurt, and it was all day. And I would have, next time, taken my pants off if I had. It was that horrible. That penicillin went in like a milkshake. You see, if I had just even, and kids can't really do this, but if I'd realized that my ego, my idea of myself, can be rearranged at that time for the moment. I didn't have anything that this nurse hadn't seen a million times, but to me it was everything. To us, even at our advanced age, our problems are everything. We take the penicillin in our arms when we don't have to. There are ways we can get past that, and the ways we get past that is forgiveness of ourselves and others and looking for the challenge and toward the challenge of a brand new day. And then that way, if life hurts, as it sometimes will, we're prayed up, so to speak. We're ready. We are living in the light, and that's what we have to give. People that live in the dark shadows and the negativity only have that to give. And unfortunately, they resonate with other folks that way, and it goes on and on. But I can also say the opposite is true. Good, a conspiracy of good, goes on and on. Look at the wonderful things that have come from things that we thought were so horrible. Look at the movements, the marches for peace, the collective groups that say we need better mental health, we need treatment for issues that people go through because of some flashpoint, some event that was horrible and we didn't understand. I believe God is present in the hands and hearts of everyone who is dealing with these issues, particularly in Dayton and El Paso. I believe God is present right here with us, dealing with our issues, whatever they may be. It's just some get more publicity than others. Don't let life become so daily that it knocks the joy out of you. Don't let anything steal your joy de vivre, your very love of life. It really is a wonderful life. It really is a place to learn and grow and become your best. It's just that our opinions about it so oftentimes get in the way. Whatever your metaphysical credo, whatever your stance in prayer, whatever that may be, cling to it and use it. And know that when you align with that wonderful source inside you, you are aligning with star stuff. You are aligning with the presence that made this world and keeps it spinning and keeps the sun shining, that same force. Walt Whitman said, the whole theory of the universe is dedicated unerringly to you. In other words, you're the center of it. Sounds egotistical, but think about it. As far as the universe is concerned, you are experiencing it and I'm experiencing you. So in that way, I am a sinner, but I'm not. It's like saying, this book is for all and for none. It's like a duality that we don't understand, but we live through it. We live through those questions. I invite you to live through the questions in your life. And if you have issues and upsets and heartaches that you want to talk about, talk to a trusted friend, talk to a counselor, join that group. Be part of a group of people who are seeking to live in a different and better way. That energy, that united energy, is wonderful. Napoleon Hill called it the mastermind. Jesus Christ said, where two or more of you are gathered together, there I am in the midst of you. So you see, like-minded folks and people who are looking in the same direction is a way to increase the good that we all want to experience. I ask you this week to go forth in a new way, and the way of self-forgiveness, self-love, self-understanding. Because when you do that, you more easily can give it to the other fellow, the other person. The more at home you are with yourself, the more you will be with others. The more that you judge, condemn, and restrict yourself, the more you will have that to give to others. Every relationship takes place inside of us first. And we give only what we know to give. I'm saying take a look at it. Look inside. See what's there. And don't be afraid of it. And if it's negative or it's something you want to tell, don't be afraid to face it. We all of us, I assure you, have thoughts and ideas that probably we wouldn't want read aloud. But presence in God is with that as well. There is no place that this presence is not. Even at the very moment when Christ Jesus cried, Father, why have you forsaken me? It takes faith. I'm not going to make it sound so trite. It does take faith. But oh, when you have that faith and you believe in yourself, which is believing in the God that made you, life takes on a whole different flavor. I invite each and every one of you to experience that today. And before I close, I want to make note of this board right here. Some of you have put your visions on here with the thumbtacks about what we are and what we're going to be. I would invite you to fill this up. Keep it up. Even if you put one on there now, but earlier, if you've got an add to the vision, if you have another idea, put it on there. I want your minds to run free with possibilities. I don't care if you think it's impossible. Put it on there. Because through our united vision, we can take this wonderful group and expand it and embrace with the love that others need so badly. And this is the genesis of our change. This is the genesis of our ideas. So please feel free to fill this up. If you don't have a thumbtack, tape, whatever, leave it there on the chair. We'll put it up. I want to see it filled with your wonderful ideas. I am more than honored to be part of this growth. I love it, and I love you, and I give you blessings along your path this week. And so it is.